What were you chatting about a wee while ago? You know, just before the service began. No one's answering me. The weather? We're Canadian, after all. The election? The latest world crisis? Another parishioner's health, perhaps? Innuendo? Rumors? Maybe even gossip? So what were you chatting about? Is always an awkward and uncomfortable question. And when Jesus asks it of his disciples, it totally throws them. Should they tell him the truth? No, probably not. Should they just maybe fudge the details a little bit and make it sound slightly better than it actually was? No, they wouldn't do that either. Perhaps they should make something up. You remember when your mother used to say, "So, what were you actually doing?" Make it up. Absolutely. No, they didn't do that either. They simply remained silent. After all, they were arguing with one another about which one of them was the greatest. And I can totally imagine that Jesus wasn't their top pick. Whether it's through money or clothes or any number of superficial doings, it is our human want to impress and to be top dog. Another way of putting it is that we like to put our best foot forward. There's nothing wrong with that, after all, is there? And in any social setting, including church, we play this game and we play it very well. It's politics. We live and breathe in relationships, which means every one of us is political by nature. We vie for our social status, for our position of greatness, to be in the in-group, whatever that group might be. However, before we judge the disciples too hastily, we should remember that they aren't like dueling for the seat next to Jesus. They haven't got their swords or their guns, or well, they wouldn't have guns, but whatever, like we do, out. They're not even conducting a poll. We have no reason to believe that they're even letting that dispute that they're having disrupt their collaboration and ministry. This is just something they were talking about, speculating along the way. It was, you know how on a road trip you have idle conversation? Well, who do you think is the greatest, was the conversation that day. The only problem, really, with their conversation, after all, was that Jesus heard them. And it was no more polite in their day to let such speculation be heard aloud than it is today. They were embarrassed, undoubtedly. Maybe they were wondering, how will he think I'm the greatest if he knows that I even have to ask the question? And Jesus doesn't just feed them some line about, "Oh, you're all my favorite." He also doesn't settle the argument with, "Since you really had to ask, so-and-so is the greatest," kind of reproach. No, Jesus doesn't chastise them or name one of them, or even one or more people outside of their in-group. Instead, Jesus picks up a small child, probably the son or daughter of one of the many disciples that were with him along the way. Now, children occupied an interesting place in the first century household for Jews and Romans alike. They represented the future. They would carry on the family name, provide for their aging parents, and they would produce the next generation. But in the present moment, they were a liability. Small children, especially, were more likely to contract an illness and die. 3 of every 10 children died before the age of 18. And 18 was considered middle-aged. So childhood was very short indeed. Children participated in the household labor, but they were not fully productive and still just represented another mouth to feed. Many historians of this time period compared the status of children in such a situation to that of a slave. However, the power dynamics were much more powerful than that. On the one hand, an adult slave could be worth more in the present. And on the other hand, even the smallest child was a member of the household, an honor to which a slave would unlikely attain, and actually was unable to attain. Children were kind of like insiders who were on the outside. And yet, children grab our attention. Children disrupt our lives. Now, if you've had children yourself in your family, you know that before you had your children, life was life. And then a child came along. Were you disrupted, perhaps? Your routines, what you used to do, going for those night movies and dates along with whoever you're with? Yeah, that doesn't happen anymore when you have a child. And if you had one child and had a second child, well, the second one is never like the first one. If the first one was well-behaved, the second one is sure to be a holy terror. And so it goes. If you've not had children, I'm sure you have been in that moment where you have seen people with their young children and gone, aren't they lovely, glad they're yours. Children disrupt us. When a newborn is in the room, who gets all the attention? The baby. When a child dies on a beach, a worldwide crisis, which is not at all new, is all of a sudden paid attention to and seen differently. We are disrupted. Children disrupt us in great ways and in very disturbing ways. Children are the ones that Jesus commands us to welcome. On one hand, this is just another instance of Jesus turning the expectations of the world upside down, disrupting the status quo. It is a great reversal in the name of justice, the kind of which Luke's gospel is well known for. When you go home, read the Magnificat about what a child will do. But on the other hand, here in Mark's gospel, we experience something slightly different. With children, the power dynamics are not so black and white. It's not so much a question of who is great and who is not, but instead it's a question of welcome. Put another way, Jesus isn't interested in who we say is the greatest, or even who acts like the greatest, or who looks like the greatest, or who thinks they are the greatest. Jesus is interested in those who act with the greatest grace, the greatest compassion, the greatest love, the greatest welcome of those people who disrupt us. Jesus presents a vision of greatness in the gospel reading today. Greatness isn't power or wealth, but found in the service and care of the vulnerable. Greatness is a matter of character, orientation, and breadth of interest. In Proverbs, we heard about a great woman today. Oh, that we should be like her, who truly cares for others and embodies that care in her everyday life. She knows whom she is attached to, she knows where she stands, and she lives through that, even the hard parts of it, with grace and with welcome to those others. No one is beyond her care. The insignificant are central to the great person's care. And the great person affirms and nurtures the least of these, the beloved children of God. You see, this passage is an invitation, not an admonition, just how the disciples were desperately afraid they'd be admonished for talking about who is the greatest. Jesus doesn't do that. He actually invites them to see it differently, to see the child, a child of innocence, as whom they need to be like, whom they need to welcome, whom they need to care for. It's about spirit-centered relationships, not about relationships of power that we fall so easily into. It's about relationships that challenge us to see beyond our own and our own nation's self-interest. They convict us of self-centeredness when we place profit over people or success over relationship. These spirit-centered relationships urge industriousness that builds community and well-being that embraces an affirmation of all. And so at the heart of that challenge is the question, how do we welcome the child? Do we allow ourselves to be uncomfortably disrupted? How do we welcome the least among us? How do we welcome our God? Perhaps that might give us something new to chat about before the service. Perhaps it gives us something new to act upon when we leave this place today. Perhaps it makes us pause and think about it when we vote in our election. Perhaps it will make us think about the children of the world who are suffering and the children at our very feet and in our streets who are suffering. And not just the children, but the adults, the aged, those with disability, those who are not, perhaps, like us. May we be disrupted by all God's children.